Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Somebody just read the title of my sermon and they laugh. I wonder if people are associating with it or whether that's a reckoning of the minister. I don't know. In either case, you probably are correct. If you're just now looking, my title this morning is I'm Too Tired. I am too tired. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, a well-known, well-loved verse that we're going to take step by step to see how the Lord deals with those that are too tired. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We're going to end our reading right there with that verse. We do trust that the Lord will bless this word to our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just ask the Lord to bless us now as we consider His word. Father in heaven, we do come to Thee a people that need to hear from our God. We need to have Your word illuminated by the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we have to even this day, hear Thy word in our hearts, O God, that we might make it our word. The word that is for us. A word that is meant for us to hear. A word that is meant to do us good and to do a work within us. Lord, we pray that for the sake of Christ, that Thou wilt now bless us as we seek to wait on Thee and seek to hear Thy word to us. O Lord, minister Thyself this day. Let Thyself and the person of Thy Spirit be the one who speaks to our hearts. Lord, I plead the blood over this time. I plead the blood over myself. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt allow the Spirit of God to be my helper and guide. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt glorify Thyself now as we look at Thy Word. Meet with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm wondering whether there's anybody who can associate really with what I'm saying in my title. If there's anybody here that feels I'm just too tired. Now I know that I can look at you. Believe me, you would be surprised how you look. One of the more amusing things, one of the pleasant things, if I can say, of the ministry is to be able to preach. And to be able to see all the things in the people that are before you that they don't think you can see, but you could, I know it, she was up too late last night, or he did this, or you are revealed in many ways. And unfortunately, I know that I am as well, especially when I try to string two sentences together, and I know I can see on your faces, this did not fit with that. Where is he? Well, oftentimes we find indeed that we are in a situation where we are just too tired. That's not what the scripture is talking about here though. We're not dealing with physical fatigue, although physical fatigue certainly can become something that is a symptom of the greater fatigue. And that is what I'm calling spiritual fatigue. It might even go beyond being called just spiritual fatigue. The Lord here is dealing with a people who are quite beyond that. These people that the Lord speaks to in the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 6 are a people who are asleep already. They're not just too tired, they are asleep. And in many ways, they are purposefully asleep to the things of God. The Lord uses an image in verse 10 of chapter 6 to describe these people in an interesting image. He calls these people are people who are uncircumcised of ears. They don't have, their ears are closed. They are not open. They are not going to listen. They are not going to hear what I have to say. They are purposefully being asleep in their hearts against the will and the way and the law of God. These people were in a stage of resistance against the Lord. In fact, John Calvin, commenting on this, says, the people, though bidden, would not so much as open their eyes. No, I'm sleeping. Don't bother me. I'm too tired. Don't bother me. I've got other things that I want to involve myself in. I'm not going to have the ways of the Lord. I'm too interested in having my own ways. We might just simply put it, just to make the setting simple. These people were a deluded people. But more to the point, these were people in trouble. These people were in trouble. They were in trouble with God. And whether they realized it or not, they were in trouble with men. They were in trouble. Yet what is always interesting, and I can't say that this is 100% of the time the case, but how it is so many times the case that when the Lord does tell His people how they are and where they stand, however ugly it is, in the midst of the Lord's grieving, if you will, He offers a sweet word of kindness. He offers to them a hope. He offers to them a remedy. He gives them a clear indication of what He would have them to do that they might be restored. That is exactly the words of this text. This is what the Lord is saying. In the midst of their refusal to go in the direction that they need to go, that they would go on with Him, He offers to them, stand still. Stand still before Me and see, and then look at the old ways. Find the old ways. Ask for the old ways and walk therein, and you'll find peace for your soul. You'll find a rest. This word, yes, is a word that is historical. It was meant for a people in the day when Jeremiah stood up to speak. But I say that the truth that is revealed here is a truth that is meant for every one of us as a child of God. And I say this morning, this message may well be a message for you. Are you tired? Are you too tired? Especially in your heart? Would you have a heart that might say, you know, I find it difficult in my soul right now to arise and go to Christ. It's not easy for me to do that. I'm finding that I'm going through a period in which the Word of God is dull. It doesn't capture my heart perhaps as it did at some other point. Perhaps we might even look at ourselves and say, I'm just so tired that in my spirit that the things of Christ have lost their sweetness. I say, if that's the case, we have an invitation here. The truth that the Lord sets forth of what He would do for those people in that day, a people great in the rebellion, is certainly a word that we can take as being true for those of us who would seek the face of the Lord. Those of us who will not close the ears. Certainly you will find the same truth. And so I guess, simply all I'm trying to, the point that I'm going to be trying to make in this message is this. Here we have God's way into rest for the soul that's in trouble. This is God's way for a soul that's in trouble to find rest. I want you to notice how simple this whole subject is, and how simply the Lord treats this. I'm going to take my points directly from the text this morning so you'll know exactly what is being said. There are four parts to the Lord's instruction. Four things that He would have us to understand about how we find rest for our souls. He tells us in the first place, stand ye in the ways. Stand ye in the ways. We are to stand in the ways. What's that mean? Well, quite simply, it means stand still. Stand still. How many other times does the Lord in His Word tell His people to stand still? Do we not read in the Psalms, the man who was greatly exercised of soul, the Lord says to the power of the Spirit of God, be still and know that I am God. When you had a people, Israel was in trouble there at the Red Sea. Here come the Egyptians. They are not coming to have a picnic with us. They're not coming to have a ball game with us. They're coming with their swords and their spears, and they mean to do terrible business. We're here. What do we do? The sea is behind us. The Egyptians are before us. And what's the Lord say? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord beckons for His people in the moment of trouble for you to stand still. For you to, well, to be very honest with you, what the Lord is calling on us to do, consider. To stand still means reflect. Think. Do some soul searching. If you want to know rest for your soul, if you find my soul is indeed too tired, I'm in trouble, I have spiritual problems, the Lord knows these well, my word to you is first, let's have some soul searching. Let's have some consideration. Let's reflect. I think that's involved with the Lord's words here. You think about the greatest, perhaps, image of this, or at least perhaps the most well-known, may not be the greatest, but simply the most well-known image of a man who finds himself in trouble and then finds himself relieved from his trouble is the parable that the Lord gives us about the prodigal son. What was the first thing that we see true for the prodigal son before he found himself restored? Was it not in those words, and when he came to himself? Yes, the Lord invites us all to come to ourselves, to come to a state of understanding about ourselves. Stand still. Now, this means a couple of things. This would involve a couple of things. There's something that goes along with the idea of standing still. And again, this is very elementary, and I hope we can understand, the power of it, the pertinence of it, even though it may be simple. When you stand still, what does that mean? It means you're not going. In other words, the word stand would simply indicate stop what you're doing. If you are in trouble, if you find yourself spiritually tired, unable, in need, stop what you're doing. It would, you know, it's one of those things, you know, one of those jokes that you hear about when you go to the doctor and you go into the doctor's office and you say, "Doctor, it hurts when I do this." What's the doctor say? "Well, don't do this." You think, well, you know, it's just one of those big, well, to use a very vernacular term, it's one of the, and I almost hate to do this because it speaks of a almost a cultural thing. But when we say it's a no-brainer, it's a duh. You know, you don't do these things. If you find that certain things are causing there to be spiritual fatigue, that you can't go on with Christ, then stop. Stop and put yourself before the Lord. The people here in Jeremiah were a people that were rushing away from the Lord. The Lord saying to them, "No, you need to stop. I say, stop what you're doing. Stop going about in your own mind with those things that are taking you away from the Lord." We might even put it this way, stop going around with those people who are taking you away from the Lord. Stop involving yourself in those actions or those activities that hinder you going on with Christ. Stop and stand still. It's time for you to do business with God. I hope you'll hear this morning. Every one of us will hear this. This is where we need to be. We need to stand still and do business with God even this morning. Well, stand still means stop what you're doing. But more to the point, what the real force of these words that we have here in verse 16 are, is that we are to take stock of our hearts. When the Lord says, "You stand still, stand ye in the ways," He's saying, let's take stock of your heart. Matthew Henry, in his comments on this portion of Scripture, says this is like a traveler. Somebody who is wanting to go to a certain point, but then there arrives in his journey some sort of trouble or some sort of confusion or something that causes him not to be sure of where he's at. So like a traveler would say, "I'm not sure where I'm going, stop." The idea is, now consider where you're heading. consider where you're going to. Most of us, when we consider where we're going to when we travel, we do that by looking at a map. In fact, Henry says, ponder your way. Ponder your way as a traveler would his road. Oh, that men would be wise for their souls and ponder the path of their feet. Do you know where you're going? Do you know where your life as it is right now, child of God, do you know where your life is taking you? Do you know what the way is that you are going? Well, if you say, oh, I feel unsure, I feel a little troubled in my soul, I'm not sure I'm spiritually strong, that is a red light. Stop and consider where you're headed, where you're going. Indeed, that's the name, that's the word that we have here. But then the Lord also attaches one other thing to it. He says, see. Stand ye in the ways and see. The idea here is that of acknowledgement. See. Admit what is in your eyes. Yes, you know, when you see the Lord shine the light on what there is to have to deal with, let's admit it. Let's just not just make an excuse. Well, you know, this is the reason why I'm this way, or the reason this has come over me because I have this circumstance. Nobody else in the world has this circumstance. I have this circumstance, or I have this strain, or I have this need, or I have, and therefore I can, I'm excused. And no, that's not true, child of God. There is no excuse for us as the people of God, no matter what our circumstance, for not going on with Christ. There is no excuse. The Lord bids us to stop, to think about our way, but then let us be honest and let us be true about that which the Lord allows us to see truly is our trouble. I'm not saying that this is an entirely pleasant thing. There's nothing about this verse that says that when you stop and you stand still and you see and you go on, there's nothing about this that says that it's all 100% pleasant. This is just wonderful. I'm just enjoying every minute of it. No, that's often not the case. But the truth is that when we find ourselves taking stock of our souls, we're taking the first step in finding rest for our souls. Well, let me ask then, child of God, where are you? Are you tired? Are you tired? Are you tired in your heart? Maybe it's time for you to stand still. Stand still before the Lord. Take stock of where you are. Well, then, the Lord tells us the second thing. He says, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? He tells us the old paths, that's a good way. Ask for the old paths. What's the Lord presenting? Well, to be very simple, the Lord is simply putting forth to Israel that way that brings them back to God. The old paths is equivalent to getting back to God. Well, in the framework of what we have here, in the setting and the context of what we have here in Jeremiah chapter 6, we would see that the Lord would have that to be a reference with regard to these people, to repentance. The old paths, it is a place for repentance, but it can also, it doesn't have to necessarily refer to just that setting, it can refer in our lives also to renewal. Here is the way that God means to bring us back to the place of rest. So, come before the Lord and seek for the ways that lead to Himself. Now, something that crossed my mind, and I'm sure crosses others, when you read this verse, would be an obvious question, and that is, to what do the old paths refer particularly? What are they talking about? Why does the Lord use this imagery? Why is He talking about old paths? What is that supposed to mean? Now, for us to understand this reference or this picture, we have to keep in mind the message of what is being done. The Lord is saying, stop, consider your ways, and ask for the old paths. Ask for the way that will bring you back to me. So the old paths are the Lord's remedy for trouble, for backsliding, for a sin-worn heart, or just spiritual needs and cares. Now, some, I would think, might see this verse and in the context say, no, wait a minute. Isn't Jeremiah talking to a rebellious people? Wouldn't then the Lord be referring back to the paths of their fathers, such as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And isn't this a reference to keeping the law? Now, I'm not going to go into a Galatians message today. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay away from this. But the answer is no and yes. Yes, the Lord is referring back to the paths that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Samuel and these men of God took. Yes, he's saying that is the path you need to get back to. But the question is the law ever put forth as God's way of reconciliation back to himself? And the answer is no. So what are we talking about when we talk about the old paths? Simply this. The paths of Abraham, Isaac, David, Jacob, all these. We're talking about the path of faith. The paths of faith. In fact, it even comments, as we have read earlier, when we were considering the words in Galatians chapter 3, it says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham? So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That's the path. The path is faith. It is a trust. It is a believing in the work that the Lord means to do for His people. J.A. Thompson, in his commentary on Jeremiah, comments concerning the old paths. He says, what we have before us as the old or ancient path may well be referring to the substance of previous revelation. But he says also the word old, that one word there, old, has its, now I'm not going to try to be a Dr. Barrett here, but he says it has its root in a Ugaritic word. I have to ask Dr. Barrett on that one because I have not the first clue about Ugaritic. And it also has an Arabic root. But the word means to learn. Old means learn. And the statement that Thompson says is the phrase may well be translated, ask for the way of wisdom. In other words, what's being said is return to the path that has been known to help you in the past. Go back to what has helped you in the past, and that is the way of faith, child of God. That is faith in what the Lord has done. So the Lord is exclaiming to these people, come back to the familiar paths. Come back to the paths that you have known to have been a blessing and a help to your souls. Turn your mind and your heart in that direction as you consider your way. In fact, we might even put it this way. There's a question we might attach. Where have you been before with God? Where have you been before with God? Where has God met you? Where have been the familiar places and the familiar times that you have known the blessing and the help of Christ in your life? How has the Lord come to you? How has He spoken to your heart? Well, turn your mind and your heart in that direction, child of God. If you find yourself tired and in trouble, don't go on in the way of your own reasoning or the way of your own powers or whatever. Don't be going in that direction. Turn your mind and your heart back to the ways that God has brought remedy to your soul in the past. Well, what would be some of these old paths? What would be some of these things that we might say, yes, the Lord has met me there? What would be some of these familiar places? Well, I would say a good place to start for this reflection would be our own salvation. I say that there is, that's an old path, so to speak. Faith in Christ alone. What the Lord has done for me by saving my soul. That's a familiar place. That's an old path. Christ has saved me by His grace and given to me a righteousness that cannot be taken away, nor can it be made better. Let this be something where I find my mind thinking, Christ has saved me, child of God. Do not just make the subject of your salvation something that you put on a checklist, so to speak. Yes, I'm saved, hallelujah, check off, and I never come back to think about the ramifications of it in my life. Oh, we're to dwell on the fact that we are a redeemed people, that we are a saved people. Psalm 23 and verse 3, I want you to think about this with me again. The first part of that verse says, He restoreth my soul. He does restore my soul. The last half of that verse, which is connected, Psalm 23 is a constant building. The Lord presents a statement, a phrase, and then He enhances it as they go down through, explaining, showing, glorifying what has just been said. The Lord restores His soul, but what's the next phrase after that? Now we have a little quiz here. What's the next phrase after He restoreth my soul? What? He leadeth me in the paths of what? Righteousness for His name's sake. He brings me to the place where I am finding righteousness all around me. I'm on this pathway. It is the pathway. It is a standing. I'm standing on the pathway. What is underneath my foot is righteousness. You might say all that is around me is righteousness. The air that's over top of me is righteousness. The whole picture is righteousness. What is that talking about? Can it be anything other than the Lord has brought me to the place of my justification? That I am saved and given by the imputing power of God a righteousness that cannot be diminished, nor can it be bettered. Oh, I want us to understand that there is much on the path of our salvation that we should be considering. What do you find on this path? What do you find on this path of righteousness? Well, I say, what do you find in your salvation? There's the answer. Do you not find the forgiveness of sins? Do you need to think about the forgiveness of sins? Do you need to think, child of God, about your having been washed in the blood of Calvary? How about the fact that you are reconciled to God? There's nothing between you and God. The Lord has completely brought you back to Himself. He loves you and He doesn't see anything in your heart or life that's against you. The Lord has reconciled you to Himself. What about everlasting life? Do we not need to think on these things? Oh, I say that these are old familiar places that we are to take our minds and our hearts often. As I was thinking about this whole scenario here, this whole illustration that the Lord uses, this presenting of the path, I was just meditating on it. My mind kind of flipped back to when I was a boy. I grew up in the country. My hometown had 800 people. My hometown was so small it did not even have a stoplight. We didn't have a drugstore. We had a hardware store that you could go and you could try to find some hardware, but chances are when you went in there, if you needed a nut to go on a certain size bolt, you can almost be guaranteed they don't have it. It was just so small. But one of the things I used to do as a boy, my cousin and I used to go hiking all the time. We were always, and you can't do this today, but we were all over my hometown. I mean, one time we'd be out down by I grew up on a bay in New York State where I lived. I was right on the shore of Lake Ontario, and there's a big bay. It was about 3 miles long and 2 miles wide, and with all its little coves and inlets and whatever. And there were hills, and there were trees and forests and meadows, and it was kind of a nice place to grow up. And as a kid, my cousin and I, we were all over the place. But I was just thinking, you know, there was one trail that we used to take all the time, and it never really ceased to have the same feeling for me whenever we'd go. It was right straight across from my house. And I can close my eyes, and believe it or not, I can actually see this path that we would take when we wanted to go out into the forest that was over and across the road, quite a ways from us, because we had a camp out there. We had a lean-to that we made out there, and we were constantly going out there. Just loved to be out in the woods. And I can remember, you'd leave my house, you'd walk across the street, and then you'd go down through this meadow, and then at the bottom of this hill, there would be a small stream that was, you know, it was only that deep at the widest place. And then you come up through the other part of the meadow, and you get to a place where the brushy part started, and there was a little place cut through there. And I can remember we'd walk up to one spot, and then there would be a stone wall that was the foundation of what used to be an old Dutch Reformed church. Well, of course, our path had to go up onto the stone wall, go over here, turn right, walk down the length of the stone wall, come over here, and then you jump off the stone wall on the other side. And then we'd go through two big, great big, huge trees that we thought about making a tree house in for quite a while, but we never did do that because it wasn't our property. And then we would go down through a little bend and come up over on this knoll, from which you could look down through the whole brushy area and you could see the bay. And then we take a little bit of a turn and we walk for about, a few hundred yards, and then there they were. These great giant maple trees. And you enter the forest, which is just filled. And when you walked in there, it was almost like walking into a cathedral. You walk underneath the boughs of these big maple trees, and it was another world in there. And I tell you, you feel as a kid, maybe I would have been David's age here. You walk in there and you feel like nobody's been here. Nobody knows this. And when every time you set out, and the path would have only probably been a mile at the most. But it was an adventure. You know, sort of like when anybody ever read that book, We're Going on a Bear Hunt? You know, you get to this point, then you get to that point, then you get to this point, then you get to that point, and then eventually you get to the cave. Well, that's kind of really how it was when we got, we go out there and trees. You know, so there we were. It was wonderful. But I say all that to say this. You mark that path, and the reason why I can remember this path is because along this path there were certain things. There were little landmarks. There was a stream, and then there was this old Dutch church foundation, and then there was the knoll where you could see the lake, and then there were the trees. And you feel like there were landmarks on this path, but I'm simply trying to say that is the same way, child of God, that we are to be thinking in our minds, as it were, about our salvation. We are to remember, yes, there's forgiveness of sins. And as my mind goes, yes, because I have been forgiven, I am now reconciled to God. Now that I am reconciled, then as I travel forward in my mind, that means life everlasting is mine. And you can go on to say at the end of it all, at the end, the grand and glorious thing of it all is Christ. Christ is mine. I am His and He is mine. The glorious truth of it all. David, I'm glad, it does sort of encourage my heart that I'm not the only one that has this sort of mentality or goes through these kinds of things, because David says the same thing. When you go to Psalm 48 and verse 12 and following, when he talks about the place that he knew well, the place where he used to go, and the things that it would suggest to his mind about his God and his stand before the Lord. Psalm 48 verse 12, he says, "Walk about Zion. Go round about her and tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces. Tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." There's things about Zion. Whenever you see the bulwarks, when you see the towers, it speaks of the person of God. At each turn, there's something about God that it reminds him of. Child of God, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you think about what the Lord has done to save your soul? Can you not understand that the Lord says the old paths are put there for your strength? If you're tired, turn your mind to what Christ has done for you. You know, there's a promise attached to that. He says, if you do that, you find rest. You know, there can also be something that we could take as a warning in that. What happens if you do that and you don't find rest? You know, this is sort of a test of whether your salvation is really true or not. If you can consider all the things that Christ has done for you and your heart does not find rest, I say you're not on the right path. You are not on the right path. I think there needs to be more of a stock-taking in your heart than just simply, am I going on in those ways that relieves my fatigue? There needs to be understanding or a checking on whether you even have life. Well, that's one thing that we could say is the old path. The consideration of the salvation of the Lord. We could also say, in the second place, believing the word of God as a little child. That's what it means to ask for the old path. One of the chief goods that you will find, that you will gain from the word of God, is that it will restore you. The word of God instructs us. The word of God convicts us. But the word of God also restores us. You might say, how does that? Well, let me take it in the same frame of mind as what we just said for salvation. Let's think about some of the things the Lord has shown to us or spoken to us in the times when we have had troubles, and see if these cannot be landmarks, as it were, on the old path. Have you ever felt, I'm all alone. Nobody can help me. My situation is desperate. Well, what does the Lord say to you in a time like that? Can you not hear the words, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Is that not something that perhaps you can point to and say, hey, there's a landmark on the old path. I will remember that. Can we not, in the times of fear, hear words such as Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, where the Lord tells us, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. How but in the times when we fall? O child of God, has the word of God never come to your own heart in the days when you found yourself fallen because of your own sinful heart? Has the Lord never uttered the words such as Psalm 37:24 to you? Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Or Psalm 145:14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all that be bowed down. The word of God is where our hearts are to come back to. If we want to find help for our souls, we turn to the word of God and let it speak to us. When we fail, Psalm 89, verse 33, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Even though I would fail God, the Lord promises he will not fail me. Can I not take that as a help for my soul? In the midst of my sorrows, can I not turn my heart to the word of God? And where Christ would say, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I say, take the word of God to your heart. Do not be afraid to pull these words back to your own heart and make them your own. They are part of the old paths. There is power in the word of God. There is power in the word of God. There's power in the word of Christ to calm seas. There's power in the word of Christ to shut lions' mouths. There's power in the word of Christ to lift up those that have feeble knees. I say that part of the old paths are hearing the word of God. But then I'm going to say something that's also very obvious as to what the Lord would indicate is a part of the old path. And that is, again, where have you met with me? Communion with Christ. Communion with Christ. If you're a child of God, you will have to admit that your soul has been done good by being with Christ, has it not? Am I asking something? Am I saying, make a statement that we here in this room can say, you are talking about pie in the sky. No one's ever known this to be true. Is that right, child of God? Am I off base with this? Has your soul not found good in the presence of Christ? Have you not been encouraged by your communion with Jesus Christ? Have you not been able to be strengthened with might in the inner man because you have been with the Son of God in communion? I said, that's an old path. You need to go back to that. Philip Keller wrote a book on, well, we have it here, unless somebody's checked it out, on A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. One of the statements he made in that was amazing to me. And again, I confess, I know nothing about sheep. Absolutely nothing about sheep. Ask me about dairy cows, I can tell you a little bit. But don't ask me about sheep. I don't know them. That's why a book like that helps me to understand the nature of who we are with Christ. He says, you know nothing. There's absolutely nothing that settles and that helps the sheep in all their ways, whether it's their grazing, whether it's their sleeping, whether it's their interaction among each other. There is nothing that affects the sheep more positively in a good way than to have the shepherd right there with them. That these sheep know the shepherd is there. I say the truth is the same for us. When we know that we are with Christ and that Christ is with us, we'll find ourselves being able to find strength when we're too tired. There are a number of the older men of God, not older in today's sense, but old as in years back, that made the comment, and again, most recently, we in our family have been reading through the life of Hudson Taylor, and one thing that he made as his motto for life was, I must have Christ with me daily. I cannot go out into the day without the knowledge that Christ is at my side. Let me ask you, do you walk out your door in the morning with that frame of mind? I cannot go out of this house today until I know that Christ is at my side. That's an old path. Come back to the old path. Come back to the old way. Come back to where you've met with God. Come back to the place where you have known the Lord to do you good. You've known Him to do you good in your salvation. You've known Him to do you good through His Word. You have known Him to do you good through His communion with you. Come back to those child of God and you find, well, I'm not going to shoot my last point here. You'll find something. Third thing the Lord tells us, He says, stand still. Look for the old paths. Then, He says, walk in them. Walk in them. Don't just resolve or intend to walk in them. You know, there's a lot of people in this world who, once they come up with a resolution, or once they in their mind say, yes, I will do this, that in their minds it's as good as done. I have done it, just, you know, that the intention is equivalent to the performance. That's not the case. For us just to say, yes, I want to walk with Christ, or I want to seek the old paths, that is just as good as our doing it. That is not the case. We are people that must find this to be a reality. But then here's where the title of our sermon this morning falls into play. But I'm too tired. I'm just too tired. I find in my spirit that there's a real burden, that there's a real fatigue, that there's a real suffering. I can't arise and go to the Lord as I would. His Word is not as it was to my ear. You don't understand, everything is crashing in around me. I can't do it. Well, let me tell you something that's true. I hope everything I said is true this morning, but let me just, I say that as a segue, to try to get to my point. The thought is this. The Lord knows that His sheep are often without strength. The Lord knows that you don't have a lot of strength. The Lord knows that you are oftentimes tired and fatigued within. That's why He tells us, when He is giving us instruction to follow in His footsteps. Well, that's why He tells us the words that we read earlier when we opened our service this morning, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Couple thoughts there. The Lord won't make the task, so to speak, the work of going on with Him more strenuous than you can take. He is not asking you to do things in your spiritual life that you are unable to do. Let's not confuse, though, in our minds what we are unable to do with things that we don't feel like doing. No, if we need to meet with Christ, our yoke will be just as easy as it needs to be for us to be able to go on with Him. Let's not just say that I'm too tired, I can't, things prevent me. No, there are no things that prevent us going on with Christ. But there's also a thought that's included in this idea here when the Lord says, ask for the old ways wherein is the good way and walk therein. The idea is simply this. The further down that pathway you go, the more strength you're going to find you have. The more joy you'll find that you are able to see. The more you spend time with Christ, the more you're in His Word, the more you reflect on that which the Lord has done for you, the more you'll find that you have got strength and you're able to go on further. And it's sort of like a snowball effect. The Lord says, walk therein. And then lastly, the last thought, the last part of the Lord's instruction is, yes, you will find what? Rest for your souls. I'm too tired. I need rest. Well, you know what? This is exactly what the Lord wants you to have. That sort of seems sort of, oh, wait a minute, no, this doesn't add up. I'm tired, and the Lord's telling me to do things that will make me more tired, won't it? No, absolutely not. You'll find rest for your souls. But now I have an objection here, preacher, or at least a question. If you tell me that I'm going to find rest for my souls, you know, the flesh likes rest, doesn't it? The flesh likes rest. So what you're actually saying is then I can start down a road that's going to ultimately lead me to laziness. I don't want to have to do anything for Christ. I can just sit down and do nothing spiritually. You're just saying, kick back, let the Lord do everything for you. Let the Lord do all the work. After all, He is a gracious God. Let His grace be so abundant that you don't have to try to do anything. You don't have to be responsible for anything. You're just lazy. Isn't that what you're talking about? Absolutely not. The rest that the Lord offers is not an opportunity to sit down and do nothing spiritually. That's not the Lord's description of rest. That's not even close to what the word rest is referring to. When the Lord says rest, He's talking about a clearing of the conscience, a relieving of the fears, and a bolstering amid the troubles. We might even put it this way. Rest for us as the people of God is having our eyes filled with Christ. Christ, the one who takes away my sin, He relieves my conscience. He purges these thoughts of guilt from me because I see that He has paid for it. Christ is the one who relieves my fears because I see that He is strong and He is able to carry me in His arms. Christ is able to bolster me amid the troubles, for I hear Him in His Word strengthening me or telling me that He will be with me and strengthen me. What's the conclusion that the Lord would have us to understand about rest? Simply this. Rest is a good thing. Can anybody say amen to that? No, don't take it wrong. Rest is a good thing. You will know good in your heart and in your life. If you will stand still, ask for the old ways, wherein is the good way, and you will walk therein, you will find this is good. This is good for my heart. This is good for my life. In other words, we can say a couple of other things. First, you can say, I am satisfied. There is satisfaction to the man who walks in the old ways. By satisfaction, I mean there's a contentment. The man is satisfied within. Well, let's qualify that. Satisfied with what? Well, you won't be satisfied with yourself. You know what? We labor pretty hard, don't we not, to try to be satisfied with ourselves? I think so. But you know what? When you walk down that way that satisfies you with yourself, which I will include you in, you will never reach the end of that because you never will be satisfied with yourself. But when you go down that road, if that is your ambition, I'm telling you, you are not on the old path. Because the old path causes our souls to be able to rest in the knowledge and the fact that I am satisfied with Christ. Christ has done all that needs to be done to bring God's help and blessing to me. Christ has done all that needs to be done that I might find the strength in this present hour. It is Christ and Christ alone, and He is fully satisfactory to me. There's also freedom. When you find rest, it's a freedom. All the encumbrances are gone. Those things that cause the fatigues to come, those things are gone. The statement was made by one man that I read for this morning. He said, "The man who is rested is the man who is best able to serve." You can't serve well if you're not resting. If you're not resting in Christ, you will not serve Christ well. In fact, there was a comment made, you know, what would happen right now if the president came to you and says, "I want you to be the ambassador to, I don't know where, Madagascar or someplace like that." What would most of us say? "Well, President, thank you very much. That's a very wonderful privilege, but you don't understand. I can't leave right now. I've got these bills that are coming in, and I've got this other responsibility that I have to undertake, and I've got the house, you know, the house is, the grass has to be mowed, and what's going to happen to the dog, and, you know, I can't go right now." But if the president came to you and said, "No, don't worry about your everything that is needful for you on this end, your complete affairs, all your debts, all the needs of your life, I will take care of that. You just go and do." What would you say? "Well, that frees me up a lot. If I don't have to worry about bills, I don't have to worry about my house, I don't even have to worry about my dog. Everything's going to be taken care of. I can go." But you know what? The Lord has done much of that for us. He has told us plainly that He will care for the needs of our souls. Can we not then go forth to serve? He will take care of the needs of our lives. Can we not go forth to serve? If we rest in Christ, we are in the best place to serve, for He will take care of us. Well, then also you must say you'll find virtue. There is virtue in that, where when you will find rest. We might ask a question, you know, many of us have this kind of a thought. At least we question within our hearts. Hopefully we would take this before the Lord. And the question is this: how may I be more than I am now? How may I be more for Christ? How may I be more like Christ? How may the virtues, as it were, of Christ be more reflected in my life, the fruits of the Spirit? How may I know these things more? Well, to be honest with you, it's not by you just saying, "I'm going to resolve to be more this way." It doesn't work that way. For you to be more like Christ, for you to be more than you are now, so to speak, is accomplished as you find yourself obeying the Lord in what He's told you to do in these words. If you will stand still, take stock, reflect on the things that are in your life, be willing to put an end to that, and you will walk in the old ways, you will find a result of walking with Christ, of communing with Christ, of living for Christ and Christ in you. The product will be you will be more like Christ. We will be more for Christ as we find ourselves going in the way that the Lord has set before us. Many of the ills that plague our hearts shall begin to be put away. And we shall, as Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We don't grow because we want to. We don't grow because we read a book. We don't grow because of this other thing that we have started doing. And we grow because we spend time with Christ and He ministers to us. Are you tired? Are you tired? Do you need the Lord to do a work within you to make you stronger spiritually? My encouragement to you is nothing more than what the Lord has said to us this morning from His Word. Stand still. Take stock, Christian. Where are you with God? What are the things in your life? What are these things truly doing to you? Are they hindering your walk with Christ, or are they taking you forward? Take stock, Christian. Ask for the old ways. Turn again to those places where you have met Christ. Let those be the paths that you seek for. And walk therein. And the Lord says, I will say to you, you will find rest for your souls. In other words, you will enjoy Christ. You will enjoy Christ, and you will find the strength of Christ for your day. Child of God, will you heed the word? Will you take the word of the Lord to heart? Will you allow it to be that which is a word for you this morning? Oh, I do trust the Lord will allow us all to say, yes, amen. Lord, let me know the blessedness of walking the old paths again for thy name's glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank thee that thou dost not withhold thyself, that thou dost not withhold the restoration of our souls from us, that thou dost not withhold strength, and thou dost not withhold grace. Lord, we're thankful that thou dost freely give. Lord, I pray that this day that thou wilt encourage us as thy people to walk with thee, to seek thee in the old paths where we have known thee heretofore. Lord, I pray that thou wilt consider each heart that's here, some with special needs. Lord, I pray that thou wilt continue to do thy work in the hearts of thy people for thy name's sake, for their good. Lord, remember the lost that are here. Lord, I pray that thou wilt soon allow us to see thy hand setting them forth on the path that walks with thee. And these things we ask in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.